Okay, Pat Renshaw? Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. Someone gave me a card, actually Mr. Thomas did, and I guess that a couple people need to leave, and they would, in order to speak now, would limit their comments to 1 minute. If there's anyone that wants to do that, why don't you come forward and just get in line, and I'll take them one at a time until they have completed, and then we'll go back to the three-minute time frame. So is this Mr. Rathbun?
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
And you wanted to leave, so we'll give you 1 minute.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sure
thank
enough.
You for taking the time this afternoon for public comment.
Sure.
Guy Rathbun, resident of Los Osos for the past 4 years. First moved there in 1972. At that time, it was a minor, small community. Changed drastically a few years later, and I wondered who was keeping it in control. It didn't appear that anybody was even watching the store. It was obvious what the outcome was going to be. I moved to Morro Bay shortly thereafter and returned to Los Osos, as mentioned, 4 years ago, not knowing, as I say, nothing was disclosed in reference to the purchase of my new home in Los Osos. I don't know whose mistake that was. It should have been disclosed at the purchase of the home. But I'm here to encourage you not to oppose the county's efforts of enforcement and the CPOs and CAOs as they stand, and would like to encourage the board to work with the county proposal and the 218 vote. Thank you again.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, anyone else that wishes to speak for 1 minute out of turn? Okay, why don't you come up and then just get in line and just tell me who you are so I can pull your card. Your name, sir?
Keith Weimer, Prohibition Zone of Los Osos.
I don't think I do. Go ahead, Mr. Weimer.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to reinforce a couple of the key points. Issuing the orders is the wrong thing to do at this point. First and foremost, it's just unnecessary. The process is moving forward. We are pro-sewer. Please try to dispel any of those assumptions that may have been put forth before. Second, the enforcement actions will have a negative effect on the process. It is at a very key time in the process. I've been involved in it, and we are right at the point of deciding the final project options and looking at things as a community and trying to understand, you know, what's involved. So the acceptance of the project, of course, is going to be dependent upon that process. Further, if you're bored, if this takes place, it will reinforce what some people feel is an attempt by your board and the staff to control the process and even determine the outcome of the project. And of course, in a 218 process, the way it's set up, we need to feel that what the community desires is going to actually be, you know, the final project.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
And your name, sir?
Norman Tiber. I live in the Prohibition Zone. I have a card.
Yeah, the question is, do I have your card?
I gave it to this gentleman.
Okay. All right. Could be on the bottom. There it is.
Thank you.
On the bottom. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, board and staff. I'd like to lend my voice in support of the county's letter and the other speakers that have suggested that your staff's recommendation regarding enforcement or actions at this point in time would be counterproductive. A number of people on your board, when this was discussed, asked, well, what guarantee do we have that, in fact, the citizens will give a positive vote to the 218? There's an old saying in the behavioral sciences that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. The last time when we were faced with a 218 vote, we voted for a 218 vote. We voted to take on the financial responsibility to proceed with building a sewer. That was stopped, and I'd like to remind again, using a historical perspective, that was stopped by a vote that did not just involve the people in the Prohibition Zone. It involved the entire Los Osos community. Therefore, there are many people who might have led to a vote that led to a change that stopped the project that were not, in fact, involved in the original vote to take on that indebtedness. On that basis, I would like to ask you to proceed gradually by talking to the county and waiting for a positive 218 vote.
Thank you for your comments. Does anyone else? Ms. Tacker.
Good afternoon. There was a little confusion. Our board, Julie Tacker, Los Osos Community Services District, our board is meeting at 5 o'clock, but our AGP guy is here, so he can't set up with enough time for us to meet on schedule, so we're having a little discussion. But I'm going to just go ahead and go with my comments right now. It's my understanding that your staff has been meeting with the county, and I'm on a board, and if I'm not satisfied with what my staff brings to me, I go look for information on my own. What I would encourage your board to do is go to the county's Los Osos Wastewater Project website, and you can see the timelines that have been laid out, the schedules for the reports, the citizens who are involved. Everybody's listed, and there's lots of information, certainly not enough. We'd all like more. But there's a lot of information about how the county process is going to take place. I think we're all hoping that something good comes from the process, and my fear today with these proceedings and anything further enforcement action is that you will cloud the process just as the cloud hangs over Los Osos.
Thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
Does anyone else wish to speak at this time? Be taken out of order. The next speaker is Mr. Bruce Payne and then Mr. Erickson. Okay. And then Lindy Owen. That would be, this is Steve Sennett, right? No?
Chuck no. Sam? Joe Sparks.
Joe Sparks.
I have a speaker card. We have a board meeting at 5, which is why I wanted to speak now, if you'll allow me.
Do I have a card for you?
Just my few comments. I am the vice president of the Los Osos Community Services District, speaking not in behalf of the board, though. I am fully supportive of the county process. I think you should view all the discharges as cooperative discharges based on the 2001 assessment vote, because there's been nothing since then by that entity, that collective group, to change that until there's another 218 vote. I am supportive of the 218 process. I believe it will pass. I believe the county is doing a thorough job and providing a fair analysis of the alternatives. If you were to consider action, I would hope that you might defer it until because the CAOs would give our board a chance to consider the new proposal, which is the CAOs as opposed to the settlement agreements and the CDOs. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Does anyone else wish to speak out of turn for a quick minute? Okay. Mr. Payne, are you here?
No.
Bruce Payne, he left. Okay. L.R. Erickson?
Can I
speak from this? Sure, go ahead. And then Lindy Owen after that, and then Alan Martin and Leon Golden. Okay, 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm L.R. Erickson. I live in Los Osos. I'm a tree hugger. I'm an ecologist. I'm not as eloquent as many of the people you've heard today. The only word I know is obfuscation. I wanted to remind the Regional Water Board what happens when we overcrowd the capacity of the earth to carry the people. I want you, in your considerations, consider this to be 500 people. I want you to consider how much our environment is capable of handling. And not to make our population denser, let's call this like 4,000 people right here, and we're in a couple, about 10,000 more. So we're up to about 15,000 people now. And it's getting into our water table. And what's happening is the more people that we force our environment into,
the less capacity we have to carry it. And I hope that in your considerations that you will consider the balance of nature, our carrying capacity, and your responsibility to help us sustain a livable environment. I look very much to you to kick back up to the state that we cannot take unlimited numbers of people into our area, that population growth has to stop, that it will be painful, maybe the profit motives has to be given up, and I think I've got about 30 seconds or so. Are there any questions, or would anyone like coffee?
Okay. Okay. Thank you for your comments. Okay. Lindy Owen?
Hi, Lindy Owen, definitely in the Prohibition Zone and looking for a great solution. If we wanted to play the blame game, we could go back and ask why you did not enforce Resolution 8312, which was to install septic management programs in various small towns that remained on septic tanks. I don't want to do the blame game. I want to get forward to a solution. I feel this process has cost hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars. I feel like mailing out piles of this kind of incomprehensible, just on and on and on. It just, you know, comes every week. Is just getting to the point of being non-productive. I really appreciate Mr. Press. I think he's the one person here who has an open mind. You may have heard that we polluted and had raw sewage running down our streets. That's not true. And whoever started those rumors deserves to live in a septic tank, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, part of what happened here was we wanted to buy a Prius. Our community was looking for an alternative wastewater system. They exist. They're very functional. They have much better results than your conventional sewer types of systems have. So we were looking at buying a Prius. We were told we were getting a Prius. Then our CSD got brainwashed by somebody called Montgomery Watson. They came in and said, they did the evaluations. They said, you can't have a Prius, but we can get you a really nice Cadillac. You won't even, you know, it has good gas mileage. It'll hold 40 people. And so somehow along the way, we got forced into buying this darn Cadillac, big red shiny Cadillac. We are back on the drawing board. We have the option of looking at a Prius again. And that's what we want. And I want you to just understand that we're not here balking about a sewer or not a sewer. It's about what type of sewer, what kind of technology. And as you know, it takes time to design projects. And trying to force us to go any faster is not going to solve anything. It is using taxpayer dollars for a non-productive behavior. And I would like to encourage you to go ahead and just... The old CSD got extensions on their timeline 3 or 4 times to be able to continue when problems came up. We're not anticipating anything more than what might naturally happen. And to leave us under the gun with, you know, the even 300 a month is, or 900 a month is too much. We are trying to build a sewer. I just think the 8312 should have been followed. We wouldn't be looking at so many of these problems. And I wanted to just bring up things that are more important, like the spinach crisis, which has something to do with this regional board. I assume you all know that you let the natural selection go for 4 years without a septic or getting their sewer plant built. That's what you should be doing. Those are more important. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Owen. Alan Martin, followed by Leon Golden, and then Mr. Scheib. What you put on the screen, or what is it? The water code? Okay, go ahead. I will start your clock, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr.
Yes,
Chairman.
3 minutes.
Fellow members of the board, thank you for your lengthy deliberations. I know that we are totally in support of what the supervisors are asking you to hold things in abeyance until the 218 vote, you know, can transpire. We meet every Monday night, so we know what's happening in Los Osos. Our objective, of course, is to be in compliance with what your board wants. And we're making reference right now, to certain code sections because they're very important. And it's 13331, and it says, upon the failure of any person or persons to comply with any cease and desist order issued by the regional board or the state board, the Attorney General, upon request of the board, shall petition the Superior Court for the issuance of preliminary or permanent injunction, or both, as may be appropriate, restraining such person or persons from continuing the discharge in violation of the cease and desist order. B, under that, the court shall issue an order directing defendants to appear before the court at a time and a place certain to show cause why the injunction should not be issued. The court may grant such probationary mandatory relief as may be warranted. Now, if we'll just move on to section 13340, it says, whenever a regional board finds that a discharge of waste within its region is taking place or threatened to take place which does or will cause a condition of pollution or nuisance constituting health, welfare, or safety, the Attorney General, upon request of the board, shall petition the Superior Court to enjoin such discharge. The court shall have jurisdiction to grant such provisionary or mandatory injunctive relief as be warranted by the way of temporary restraining order, preliminary injunction, and permanent injunction. And moving on to section 13268. Any person who knowingly commits any violation described in the paragraph on is subject to criminal penalties pursuant to subdivision. And E, subject to paragraph 2, any person who knowingly commits any violation set forth in subdivision shall be punished by fine that does not exceed $25,000. Basically, you know, what we're saying, Mr. Chairman, is that these statutes show that we can be forced out of our homes. And that is a point that we want to make. And in conclusion, I would like to provide you some backup testimony, and we'd like to submit it into the record.
Okay, Mr. Martin, your time is up, so... Okay, this is just public comment, so there really is no record. You know, the board can look at this later. Okay, they're not going to look at it right now, but thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. How many more cards do we have? We have 7, 8. We have 10 more cards. Do you want to take a break right now?
Yes.
Or not? You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a break. Mr. Golden, you're first up when we come back.
Well, it was going to take 2 minutes, so I'll take 3 because you're taking the break.
Folks, we're ready. Okay, folks. Okay, folks, we're ready to resume. Mr. Richards, he is there. And Mr. Golden, you just wanted 1 minute, was that it?
Beg your pardon?
You just wanted 1 minute, was that it?
I don't think so.
I think
somebody suggested to me I should ask for 4, since you didn't keep to your 10 minutes.
I see, okay.
But I think a 3 will be just fine.
Okay, I thought 30 seconds might be sufficient, but go ahead, take 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, my name is Leon Golden, G-O-L-D-I-N. I live in Los Osos. I do not live in the Prohibition Zone, but I am, however, involved with the CSD and with the numerous problems that we're having in the district. I'm also a former vice president of the State Bar of California, presently and an active lawyer. I first wanted to adopt in full the comments made by Judy Vick. I think she quite succinctly put the... And you look, Mr. Young, you look puzzled, Perhaps I need to remind you.
I'm trying to just, this is Ms. Vick here. That's all I was doing. I'm not puzzled. I'm trying to identify
you did,
the
you
face.
Look, I didn't say you were puzzled. I said you look puzzled.
Yeah, and I'm just letting you know I'm not puzzled. Okay.
In any case, I want to adopt whatever she said with reference to the letter because she was right on point. But I do want to talk to you about some other things. The perception of electioneering and the perception that strong arm tactics are being used. Let me just give you one example. The young man immediately to my right said something about the fact that at the signing statement, the governor of the state made some statement about the fact that unless the money was paid back, the state was not going to loan any money. Now, I know, Mr. Young, you're a lawyer, and I was amazed that you didn't correct him by telling him that that is not what governors say at signing statements about as useless as what the President of the United States says at signing statements. They're not part of the law of the land. The bill that he signed is the law of the land. Once he put a signature on it, it became the law of California. And all his signing statements, notwithstanding, that's still the law of the land. Also, I know that there are negotiations going on with the lender in this situation, which may end up in a positive thing for the Los Osos District. And again, I think you folks are tasked with the responsibility of helping here. And I would hope that you would try to help. You can help. You've already taken some steps to help by changing the kind of penalties you are assessing some people. And let me also comment on the fact that you are now have a proposal, which is your This is your third attempt to figure out some way to bring to herd the cats or to bring the people into line here. How does that look to the rest of the, it doesn't look very good for you. And I would suggest to you that follow the county's recommendation. Let's see their report, the fine screening report. Talk to them, and you'll find out that the 218 vote will pass. And I have some expertise in that since I was co-chair of the last successful vote in Los Osos, which raised taxes. I'm going to say that again. Raised taxes. It was a fire tax thing. And this was on the heels of a loss of a fire tax thing proposal. We got a 75% vote. And we did it by not threatening people, but by telling the truth and being open. And last, I'll conclude by reminding you, Mr. Young, you put a very interesting question to the person who was here from the air pollution district. You asked her whether she was sure that those machines that needed these gadgets to cut down the pollution really didn't have them. Are you sure that the various septic tanks in Los Osos are polluting? That's the reverse of your question.
And, sir, that answer has been before the board for many, many years in terms of the levels of nitrate contamination. But if you're asking whether do we have evidence that each individual...
Right.
Well, we don't. But collectively, the evidence is that there is contamination coming from the community's septic systems.
I hope we don't have to take your statement that you have no proof of individuals to court.
That statement's not by me, also by staff.
It's okay.
It's there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Lacey Cooper. Bo Cooper. Mr. Scheip, I had you closer to me than them. Go ahead.
I just heard that there are a couple of fires on Sequester Drive.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Rob Scheip, homeowner and longtime resident of Los Osos and member of the county's technical advisory committee, the finance. I speak on my own behalf regarding my own personal views on how your actions can affect us and the work that we're doing. A couple points. First, the proposed cleanup and abatement orders do not remove the $500 a day minimum fine. At least I couldn't find it when I read through them. Second, I would hope that maybe you guys could think about having one of your off-site meetings in Los Osos. You've been talking about it for enough time that maybe you should come out and take a look at our town. And maybe you could have a presentation out there to have the county show you what's going on, and they can show us, and maybe have a joint meeting. Allison Dominguez has been at all of our TAC meetings, and I'm sure she could update you. I want to agree with Ann Normand and say that the timing of these issues at this time is wrong, and if you want more questions, you can ask me more on that later. My fears regarding the 218 are very strong. I'm afraid of the electioneering charges. I think we're going to get it passed. What I'm really concerned with is that it might be overturned later. I would like to see the prosecution live up to their notice of violation, and in it, it reads, if the county builds a community wastewater system as contemplated by AB 2701 and you connect your property to the system, then you will comply with the prohibition and avoid further enforcement. So avoiding further enforcement means that we have to connect through the AB 2701 process. So I don't see how you can bring further enforcement while the AB 2701 process is ongoing. And in conclusion, the County of San Luis Obispo, when they were talking about issuing that letter, both Taxpayers Watch and the CSD, both sides supported it. So we have Taxpayers Watch, the CSD, the County of San Luis Obispo, and the prosecution team all agreeing that we should withhold while this process is ongoing. We're getting real close to your kumbaya moment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Scheib. Lacey Cooper, followed by Bo Cooper, and then Richard Margetson.
Hi, I'm Lacey Cooper. I'm a longtime homeowner in Los Osos Prohibition Zone. And I've heard a lot of interesting comments, information that went before me. And I guess I would ask that given that there's more information from the county that this board seems to want to hear about timelines and things, I think it would be good to keep this item carried over in abeyance until at least until July, until you are able to see the timelines and the fine screening, the summary of the people's comments, and I think that would be. That would be helpful and give you more information for your decisions. Also, I guess I'm unclear as to what the board can actually see. There is the rough screening on the county website. I don't know if all this has to. I guess it's a question if it has to go through the staff or the board. If the board can't receive things directly from the county, I'm not sure because their work as you, Ms. Vendetti, who's the TAC member. Was giving you some outline. There's a lot of work that's been done. There's videos, of the TAC meetings. There's quite a bit going on, which I think you should see. And also, I guess it's a problem because there seems to be individual responsibility, but it's going to take the community to solve the problem. So I think this is where getting a lot of attention on these the CAOs. And I am concerned that some people got CDOs and then they get hearings, and then if you do this, then the other people don't have hearings. And then I'm concerned with the fairness of having people in 2004 have a different CDO. It's starting to get kind of, a strange patchwork. The other thing I want to ask about is I'm unclear as to the advantages or disadvantages of your, if you go this way with settlement versus a CAO, if you do a settlement, then you no longer can appeal. you know, it, I guess it's the voluntary versus the unilateral. I'm not clear on that, so I thought I'd ask that question. And also, if the county process fails, if the 218 fails, and the work goes back to the CSD, will you still refrain from, you know, enforcing CAOs if the CSD is making progress? I'm not clear what, you know, what your guidelines are in terms of what's making progress. That's why I was hoping you would meet with the county and look at all their things before proceeding, you know, just kind of push it back just a little bit. So I guess those are some of my questions and comments.
All right. Well, to answer a couple of them for you.
Uh-huh.
We don't make the board doesn't make the decision as to what type of enforcement action gets brought or when it gets brought. The purpose of this discussion is for the prosecution team to air publicly what they're thinking about doing, get feedback, see what the board thinks about what they might be doing, and hear from the public. So your questions as to, you know, what happens if this event doesn't happen and then this event doesn't happen and then what would you do, you really have to ask Mr. Sato and Mr. Packard those questions, because we're going to be more on the receiving end of that when something has already taken place and it's going to be could be noticed for a hearing, or if it's done administratively, taken care of that way. And there may not be a hearing like we've been having.
Okay, but today you're deciding...
We're not, the board's not deciding anything.
No, you're
the
just
board's
taking...
The board's taking no action today.
Taking no action.
It's not even making a recommendation. It's going to discuss these issues that I had tried to lay out initially and kind of give some feedback publicly as to what our reactions are.
Okay, so then it would be up to Mr. Sato, after he hears what you're saying, to say we're going to proceed with the CAOs today. Is that
well,
my...
Well, I guess Mr. Sato is the attorney for the team, and Mr. Packard is the head of the team. So
Can I ask them that?
Well, you know what? you're free to ask him that after we've gone through all the speakers. The board needs to get to its discussion. You can always call them on the phone and ask them.
I guess it's just a procedural question.
Yeah.
They are the ones, after they hear from you, they're the ones that decide whether they're going to issue CAOs to 4,400 homes?
Yes, they were
These
the ones.
They're deciding.
The one, yes.
You don't vote on that.
We vote on it, but we are on the...
Really confused.
They make the decision themselves.
Okay.
As to what type of enforcement action to bring. The ACL hearing against the Community Services District, they decided to do that. They didn't confer with us ahead of time and say...
But you approved that.
Well, though. It came to a hearing.
Right.
And they brought the issues before us to get resolved in terms of what they were asking for, penalties. So we sit in the fact-finding mode, not in the prosecution mode.
Okay, so you won't vote to support their recommendation of CAOs today?
Well, the board's not going to vote on anything today. There's no board action.
But you will vote eventually. I mean...
I don't know that we will.
Mr. Chair, I think the question is whether... at what point the board gets involved in an enforcement action if the prosecution team chooses to bring CAOs. I think the speaker is asking, is there a stamp of approval? Do they ask the board for to approve those CAOs or the penalties and so on? I think the question comes from wondering if the whether the prosecution team can act on its own or if it needs board approval.
Yeah,
is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Yes, and when and at what point they can do this.
Okay, so.
You know, perhaps Mr. Richards can address those points for you. Go ahead, John.
I can talk about this a little bit. Issuance of a cease and desist order requires a hearing before the board and a vote of not less than five board members, a majority of the board, in order to pass the cease and desist order. The issuance of cleanup and abatement orders is a function that has been delegated by the board to its executive officer. Therefore, the board's executive officer, acting for the board, can issue cleanup and abatement orders. Those orders are final as soon as the executive officer signs them. As soon as they're issued, they are final orders of the regional board.
Okay.
Within 30 days of the issuance of a cleanup and abatement order, a person who receives it would have to file a petition for review, for administrative review by the state board if they objected to the cleanup and abatement order.
Okay.
However, a person who is receiving an order of the regional board, any order of the regional board, is entitled to a hearing, an opportunity to present evidence and have that evidence considered by the board. So what often happens is that a person who receives a cleanup and abatement order who doesn't like it will file a petition with the state board within the 30 days and ask that the petition be held in abeyance to allow the regional board to provide a hearing. And that hearing can be a formal hearing before the entire board, such as the hearings that were conducted for a cease and desist order. And in fact, in some regions, anytime the executive officer issues a cleanup and abatement order, an item is put on the next agenda in order to provide an opportunity for such a hearing. And it's, if no hearing is requested, it drops off the agenda. And if a hearing is requested, then there's an opportunity before the board to handle it as an agenda item.
Okay.
That's one way of doing it. Another way of providing the opportunity, an adequate opportunity for a hearing, is for the executive officer himself to conduct an informal hearing on... Typically, that is done on written submissions. In other words, the cleanup and abatement order is issued. The person who receives the order, or any person who is aggrieved by the order, would request a hearing. The executive officer would say, "Fine. If you have evidence that would be relevant to the issues that are presented by this cleanup and abatement order, submit your documentation and your arguments and." We will consider it. And what would happen in a context like that is that the executive officer would then issue a subsequent order affirming the cleanup and abatement order or whatever order. Now, in other regions, this has been done for orders issued under investigative orders issued under Section 13267, where the regional board requires somebody to do monitoring or provide a technical report. People have objected to being named. The executive officer conducted an informal hearing. The parties submitted documentation. The staff reviewed that internally, made a recommendation to the executive officer, and the executive officer issued a second order, either affirming or modifying the investigative order. So that is a process that could occur at the regional board, whereby the executive officer would issue the cleanup and abatement order. If the person receiving the cleanup and abatement order objected to it, that person could ask for an informal hearing, which would be conducted typically on written submissions internally. And then the executive officer would either confirm or modify or possibly even rescind the cleanup and abatement order. So those are two ways that cleanup and abatement orders could be processed by the regional board. It is not necessary that the regional board conduct a hearing with oral testimony in this case, or possibly in order to provide the necessary due process for to sustain such an order. That's a determination that the regional board would make. The procedural difficulty that is presented by this process is that in order to provide the opportunity, in order to protect your rights, mm-hmm. while you allow the regional board to go through its internal hearing process, right. you must file a petition with the state board.
Right.
And then ask that to be held in abeyance while you allow the regional board to go through its informal process to process the documentation. But in answer to your question, it is not necessary for the regional board itself to vote on cleanup and abatement orders. It's something that they can do. It's something that they could. The regional board obviously has the power anytime it wants to direct mm-hmm. its staff to bring matters before it so that they can vote. Oh, but it can allow the delegation mm-hmm. that it has made to its executive officer to determine the outcome.
So that's Mr. Sato?
Mr. Packer, really.
In this case, it would be Mr. Packer.
The lawyer who advises them. So it's Mr. Packard's.
Mr. Packard is.
Yeah, Harvey Packer.
Oh, okay. Okay, but I can appeal to the state for a hearing on a CAO.
On a cleanup and abatement order, you have the ability to submit a petition for review.
Okay.
The state does not have to consider it.
Mm.
The state may consider it, but the state may dismiss it without consideration. The state has unrestricted discretion mm. to accept or reject petitions that are submitted to it.
Okay.
And another qualification. I'm sorry, it's a complicated process.
Yeah, that's.
But another qualification that exists is that the state may not provide you with a hearing. The way petitions are handled at mm-hmm. the state board is that they're handled typically on written submissions.
Mm-hmm.
And the written submissions go to the state board. The state board reviews the petitions.
Mm-hmm.
It may dismiss the petition out of hand. It may ask the regional board to respond and then dismiss the petition or modify the petition. It may prepare a draft order.
Mm.
Either upholding or modifying the cleanup and abatement order, you would then have an opportunity to speak to the state board at one of its workshops. But that's not the same as a hearing. It's a workshop, and the opportunity is much more restricted to address the state board.
I hope that wasn't the short answer, John.
No, that was not the short answer.
Yeah. I guess that's why I'm hoping you'll talk to the county first, so we don't have to go through all this individually.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Time is up. Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you for answering my questions.
Sure. Yeah. Mr. Thomas, did you have a comment to make? Or?
I was.
You're not going to add to that answer, are you?
I was going to try and take a shot at saying it in layman's terms.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen after this hearing?
Well,
or after this item is over?
Okay.
That would be good.
I'm hearing people say, don't do it.
Don't. Go ahead.
When this item is over,
mm-hmm.
the board's not going to vote on anything. They're not going to give direction to the prosecution team.
Okay.
It will be up to Mr. Packard to decide whether he's going to issue cleanup and abatement orders to the residents of Los Osos or not. He'll have to make that decision. And then after that, we'll have to decide how we're going to deal with appeals or hearings that people may want to have when they get those orders.
Okay.
We'll have to make that decision then.
But according to the lawyer, he said you could ask for a hearing on whether to issue the cleanup and abatement orders, correct?
The recipient of the order could ask for a hearing.
But
yes.
I mean, you could ask. I believe the lawyer said that the board could ask.
Yes, I said that the board could ask. What I meant was that if people act, if the recipient of a cleanup and abatement order requests a hearing, the board could direct that that hearing be conducted before it.
Okay, thank you.
And from what I understand, that the prosecution team is also going to be, if they do send anything out, that they would be sending out also a proposed settlement agreement in lieu of a claim and abatement order. So I think they're proposing some options there that might take place.
Yeah, that would be good to explain that, because I don't understand the difference, whether then you couldn't ask for a hearing or...
If you typically, when a party settles, that's it. You're giving up your right to appeal.
Oh, okay.
If you're going to sign to the terms of the settlement agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think that the terms of the settlement agreement should be less onerous than a claim and abatement order to motivate people to want to accept the settlement agreement.
Right. I'm not sure about that in this case, because I read both of them.
Yeah. Well, so far they've been fairly similar tracking, and so, you know, the board may have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
So we're going to hear yes, Dr. Press.
Yes, just to, not to belabor the point, but I think it's important to say the that from I think the community is asking where the buck stops, and I want to be clear that in this case, what Mr. Richards, our attorney, has said is that the board delegated the cleanup and the CAO cleanup and abatement order process to the staff, but can pull it back. Is that right? Did I understand that right, Mr. Richards?
That was my question.
Well, that's correct. The board retains the authority to oversee and supersede actions of its executive officer, even though those actions have been
previously delegated.
Have been delegated to the executive officer.
That's just why I just wanted that to be clear.
That's true. And usually it's a judgment call by the executive officer whether to act on his delegated authority or whether to put something on the board's agenda to be dealt with by the board at a meeting.
All right. Thank you.
That was my question. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bo Cooper, followed by Richard Margetson, and then Alan Perlman.
Hi, Bo Cooper. I just got new information. Apparently, it's up to Harvey Packard about whether or not we get CAOs. It's up to him whether or not to send them to us or not. So what's the purpose of being here? Are we trying to convince Mr. Packard to do the kind of things we think are reasonable? It sounds like we're not trying to convince you guys about anything right now. We're just talking, really, Mr. Packard. That seems what's going on. And I'm also shocked that staff has that discretion to give CAOs rather than the board. I guess my own thinking. These are young guys. These guys who don't know what they're doing very deeply. I don't want to really go there, but I was hoping that you guys are more mature. I'm watching and saying, okay, it's kind of going okay. I'm looking over here and saying, no, these guys are young, snot-nosy kind of guys, and they just don't have it. So I'm really concerned that they're the people.
You miss your youth, don't you, Mr. Cooper? I do too at times, but
those are good days.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was pretty stupid myself too. I admit it. The question is, all right, when will Mr. Packard make a decision about whether or not to give CAOs out? I need to know that. All right, that kind of, I understand what's going on. Anyway, I do want to encourage you to listen to the county and wait until more information comes in. I believe Dr. Press's idea: wait till July, have an ongoing dialogue with the county, see what's going on. I'm an ornery kind of guy, right? I am for the sewer. Virtually everybody here is for the sewer. We want the process to be threatened. Doesn't work for anybody. Doesn't work for any of us, and we're all really concerned. $5,000 a day is possible, as you say, Mr. Young, is exorbitant. You said that yourself. Mr. Soto said $100 a day settlement when asked. Said that's simply a recommendation by the staff. It's not binding on a future board, quoted today. Mr. Packer said there is nothing in these orders that contemplates forcing people from their homes. And Mr. Young, you made a point about not being forced. $5,000 a day, if that was for in a year, that's $1,725,000. even $100 a day is $36,500, and $30 a day is still $10,950 a year, too much. If that does come down like that, will it be a lien on our house? How will that happen? How does the court things end up doing that? And finally, on the settlement agreement, it says the parties will negotiate in good faith. No negotiated resolution of any enforcement action is required or guaranteed in this provision. So it's a promise to negotiate in good faith, but we've seen the state negotiate with CSD back in October, and good faith is not what we want. We need a definite cap. $30, I think, is not great, but if I was going to pick a cap, okay, I understand that you want some stick, but more than that is certainly not right. So we definitely need a definite cap rather than a good faith decision. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, Mr. Margetson, followed by Alan Perlman, and then Maria Kelly.
Richard Margetson. Part of the confusion today, I think, is on how the process is going to work may stem from an article 1 week ago where Mr. Packard was interviewed by the Telegram Tribune. I'm going to read you a couple of the comments. Under staff's recommendation, property owners would have to have an opportunity to submit written comments against the enforcement, but would not be entitled to a public hearing. It is impractical to hold board hearings for all 4,500 properties in the prohibition zone, Packard said. Arguments made during the hearings held for the 45 property owners allowed the water board to review and approve staff's enforcement policy. We feel that the issues raised have already been thoroughly reviewed and discussed by the board in a public hearing, in a public setting, he said. That's the extent of the explanation to the community of how the process was going to go in the future. And as far as I'm concerned, he hasn't heard my arguments. This board hasn't heard my arguments, hasn't heard Mr. Tkach's arguments, hasn't heard Lindy Owen's arguments. You afforded 45 people in the community of Los Osos the full process to now change in midstream the process for the other 45 or 4,300 is improper. To think that you've heard all the arguments? You haven't. You haven't heard my argument. My argument's different than everybody else's out here. And I'm sure there's other arguments out there that we haven't brought those forward at this point. Why would we? Why would we give you what we have at this point to try to help staff enforce an order on my individual property right in Los Osos, which is unique from every other property in Los Osos? Every property in Los Osos is unique. Every argument's unique. The idea that the arguments will come back at an appeal process to the staff is very concerning for me. This is the staff that in the notice of violation proposed that if you don't pass the 218, we'll continue with the process. That's the one sentence in there that's bothersome to the entire community. You must pass the 218 vote. I have no intention of voting my property interest for a 218 if I feel I'm coerced into it. And there's many people in Los Osos that feel the same way. And I was one of the original founders of Move the Sewer. And believe me, that's a big contingent in Los Osos. Los Osos will not be pushed into a blank check. We want a sewer. The Los Osos Move the Sewer movement never said we don't want a sewer. And I still think the process down the road, if you do end up coming back to CDOs, shouldn't be heard in this venue. The venue for hearings for Los Osos should have been changed the minute staff and staff attorney got involved helping Taxpayer Watch back in October of 2005. And I find it very interesting that Lori Oaken's not here today and that Sora Marks isn't sitting at the prosecution today, that she's in the audience. That process is tainted from that point forward. Okay. You know it.
Thank you for your comments,
and we
Mr.
haven't
Margetson.
Been given a fair shake.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair, before the next speaker,
yes,
please, I just want to clarify that I'm getting the feeling that people are thinking that we gave our authority for the cleanup and abatement orders to our executive officer just for this particular Los Osos hearing. That's not the case. We did that a number of years ago, and it handles on all cease and cleanup and abatement
orders. Right.
So I just want to clarify that if anybody's thinking that we did that for this particular type of hearing, that's not true.
No. And Mr. Markinson had alluded to the notice of violation, I believe, was sent by Mr. Packard. So Mr. Packard would not be involved in a review of a cleanup and abatement order that he would issue. So that review would take place under Mr. Thomas's purview if that's the way we streamline the cleanup and abatement order review process.
Don't they work in the same building?
Yes.
Isn't there an interaction? Isn't Los Osos one of the biggest issues that's ever been heard by this board?
No, I'm afraid it isn't. But thank you, Mr. Markinson.
In the last 5 years?
It's a big one, and it certainly is very important to you, and I understand that. But it's not the biggest.
No,
to
the
us.
Process is very important to me, and the process has been followed properly.
Mr. Markinson, you will get due process that's required under the law. Thank you. Mr. Perlman.
Hello, Alon Perlman from the Prohibition Zone, and I would like to apologize in advance. I'm trying to cover several topics. I'm trying to color my conversation with a few mixed metaphors, and I may skip around a little bit. But let us start with Mr. Shellcross, who earlier said that the county's presence being absent is hindering your ability to react to their letter. And I ask, do you need a weatherman to tell you which way the wind blows, and do you need, and whoever will tell you which way the effluent flows? I don't believe, you have explained the issues of separation of powers, but I think it's very clear that, and I will now go to a metaphor, as we understand, the Cuesta grade is burning. And that the Cuesta grade has diesel trucks come down it. And there's a safety feature. It is a runoff road. What happens is that the trucks can cool their brakes on the runoff road. And I'm wearing a prop. This says Santa Maria Diesel. And diesel trucks are one of your enforcement methods. Unfortunately, they would cause much more pollution than the pollution that they're hoping to supposedly alleviate. This comes back into the question of why do you have to feel that you have to burn the village in order to save it? With regards to the EPA talking earlier, and in regard to diesel trucks, 5 years falls under the biological plausibility. That is when the bacteria in one's septic tank are most active. So pumping every 3 years is, in fact, not an optimal solution in any case. As you've heard testimony, something on the order of 5 years would be much more appropriate. It's also you've missed the chances. You've interfered with the CSD's ability, which I believe still exists under 2701, to create a septic management system. If a sewer does not come in before 2011, supposedly all this supposed pollution would yet continue. A septic management system is very important. The Ocean Protection Council has met, and they have talked about all the long-term effects. This is my other prop. It's a Navy SEAL. It's a little hard to see from here. This is a toy SEAL. It's wearing a scuba tank and a mask, and that's where we're headed. We're headed for an environmental catastrophes. It is up to the various organizations, CSD, Water Board, State Water Board, unless you come together, and I support the letter from the county being one of the most important steps in you all coming together, none of this will be resolved. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Maria Kelly, then Laurie McCombs, Jeff Edwards, Jerry Walsh, Gail Price, Maureen Cormier or Cormier, and then on the bottom is Keith Swanson. Okay, Maria Kelly? Not here. Okay, Lori McCombs. There she is.
Good afternoon, Lori McCombs, cease and desist order number 1026. I would just like to let everybody know that in Los Osos, that petitions must be filed within 30 days for the decision on this enforcement. Do not sign the settlement without seeing an attorney. Special meetings every Monday night to explain the ramifications of enforcement on your property and how it affects the voting, your voting rights. Washington Mutual every Monday night. Please be there, 7 o'clock. First, we object to this proposed blanket CAO. I do not believe that the legislature gave your board the legal power to issue these orders to citizens without any evidence that the citizen is in fact a polluter. Living in Los Osos does not make one a polluter, nor shall a citizen in Los Osos be ordered without notice of an opportunity to be heard to abate and clean up, which cannot be abated and cleaned up by an individual. We suggest substantive and procedural due process protect individuals from such order. I request that you consider and adopt a fifth option. Instead of further prosecution of individuals, I request your board comply with Water Code 13101.1 and 13291.5 and the legislative intent that your board help us by finding funding and also possible assistance to come up with acceptable technology for individuals to comply. You could also help as opposed to hinder the county process under AB 2701. The CDO and CAO states that the two water code provisions the board put on the wall through Alan Martin, in addition to criminal liability and injunctive relief, Alan Martin just showed on the board, the fines are not the only penalty for failure to cease discharge. No, it is in the cease and desist order you have given me. And okay. You're well aware of it. It's right there.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Mr. Edwards.
Good evening, Chairman Young, board members, staff. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a 30-year resident of Los Osos. I've been a student of the wastewater project since the days of Ken Jones, been many years. I think it's fundamental that we direct our energy towards a common goal. As you know, infrastructure is a lifeblood of any community. In the instant case, it's about clean water. At the break, I was speaking to Board Member Jeffries, reminiscing a little bit about the 1998 Coastal Commission hearings where they considered the county project. It's unfortunate that the Coastal Commission denied that project, largely because it was pegged at about $70 million at that time. It seems rather affordable in retrospect. Since 1998, your staff and the board, the sitting board, has lost their collective patience with us, I believe. And it's resulted in the alphabet soup of enforcement actions, which are simply not working. And in fact, the strategy is galvanizing the community, not necessarily against the wastewater project, but against your board. And I don't think that's helpful. I believe it's imperative that we cooperate together to try to achieve the goal of implementing a wastewater project. With all due respect to your council and the explanation of the CAO process, I almost have to laugh. A layman's view of that process, a layman's definition, would be circle jerk. That process will not result in a wastewater project. It's only going to, again, just antagonize the community, and that's not productive, especially in light of the upcoming 218 vote. Let's start today with a paradigm shift in strategy. It's going to be hugely important. Since inflation has captured this project, we're talking about a project that's going to be very, very expensive. We need your help in securing financing. We're going to need your help in issuing waste discharge requirements that are reasonable. And ultimately, we're going to have to face the Coastal Commission again. There's a lot of work ahead beyond the time the county comes up with some options. So let's not exhaust our resources and our energies dealing with the CAOs and ACLs, et cetera. Let's change the strategy. Let's strike the legal backdrop that is prohibiting communication. So it's just to repeat the problems and the strategies of old, I think we just got to do something different. It's clear the people of Los Osos will not be intimidated by your staff, by your board, or the state of California. So I think I implore your board to change direction today. Thank you.
Mr. Edwards, what do you think we can do to find money for the community? I mean, we don't have a bank account. We can't tell the legislature to write checks.
The State Water Resources Control Board is involved in distributing the EPA money through the state revolving fund. Okay, you are related to that agency. You're both state agencies.
Yes.
And
there's got to be a project first.
And indeed,
and we have always supported projects that the community has brought forward for funding.
Then why are we wasting time and energy dealing with these enforcement actions that are doing nothing?
If we had a project in front of us and you were asking us to help get funds to support it from the state, we're going to be right there.
Well, I think we need to start now. And
you have to have a project first. We can't go to Sacramento and say, write them a blank check.
No, but
so they can work on something.
There's some bad blood that needs to be corrected, and we need to start now. It's clear the county will produce a project. I have every expectation that they will. The problem is, are we going to be able to pay for that project? And I think it's going to be hugely difficult. So what do? We have to get creative. There has to be ways to deal with that. I mentioned the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission had permitted the last project in a way that basically made all the vacant lots unbuildable. Without financial input from those vacant lots, this project's going to be more expensive to pay for if you try to load the whole burden on the existing homeowners. So there's going to have to be...
We're not laying out the assessment district.
No, but the Coastal Commission had decided on the prior project in a way that was detrimental to the affordability of the project.
Okay.
Your board can lobby the Coastal Commission. Absolutely. It's been done before and it can be done again.
Mr. Edwards, projects come before us for review and permitting.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the Coastal Commission and we tell the Coastal Commission that we agree with getting the permits issued. We mm-hmm. always have.
Correct. But it didn't work last time, in 98. And it really didn't work with the most recent project because it was conditioned in a way that was going to be very hard to implement. Very, very hard. So my main point is that the work is ahead of us. And I think we need to really focus on those things that will produce the best results. And I think this board has been recently and is now going in an entirely wrong direction. And you've heard that from speaker after speaker today.
Well, you know, I appreciate your concerns. And we have heard from 80% of these same people, you know, many times over the past few years. And they've expressed similar feelings off and on. I don't know what the rest of the community thinks at all. I mean, we do hear from these are very loyal people to their positions. And I will tell you that the board wants to see a project put in, and whenever the community, it's the community's responsibility, whether it's the CSD or the county, that's the community. And this has shifted back and forth over the years. People have this misconception that our board is supposed to send our staff into the community and start to help them design a project. We don't do that for anybody. We're not permitted to do that under the law. Communities hire experts that know what the law is, know what the requirements are, and it's their responsibility to come up with projects and to get them vetted and to get them up for permit.
And your board will issue waste discharge requirements for a project.
That's right.
So, and doing
that's
so,
right.
those discharge requirements
and we
help
did
shape
for the last
project.
One.
Correct.
And the one before it. And we've supported getting funding from the state.
And my point is that we need to continue to do that, and I think that it would be helpful to drop the antagonistic. These enforcement actions are not achieving anything. They're in fact a distraction. They're a red herring. They're diverting effort and energy from the work that really needs to be done.
Thank you. I understand how you feel. Thank you. Okay. Jerry Walsh?
Jerry Walsh, 21-year homeowner in the Prohibition Zone. And at Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting, there were only two people in the whole room that asked the board not to send the letter to you. And these two people were from Taxpayers Watch. And one of them was Gordon Hensley's father. He requested to speak last so that we would not have the opportunity to refute the rumor he started. And he said that we are organized in Los Osos against the 218 vote. Completely false. We are not organized to defeat the 218 vote. We want a successful 218 vote for an affordable project out of town. I've been on the winning side of every election of every person and issue in Los Osos since this whole mess started. We know how to organize when it comes to elections. I was the co-chair with Leon Golden of the fire tax election. When over 800 homes sprouted "Move the Sewer" signs in Los Osos, they didn't state, "We don't want a sewer." It was "Move the Sewer." When 800 people, without a lot of organizing, showed up at the park next to the Tri-W site for a group photo shoot, it was "Move the Sewer." It wasn't about "We don't want a sewer." And it was quite a sight to see 800 people arriving from all over Los Osos. It was almost like a ground swelling, spontaneous. And right now, it's a ground swelling that people are seeing through your letter, the electioneering of it. We will not be bullied into a 218 vote. Don't let this be about ego. Someone said, one of the other earlier speakers, and I agree with, the intelligent person is the one who learns from his mistakes. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Gail Price. And then Maureen Cormier. Is she here? And then Keith Swanson. So, no Gail Price?
She has the
lead. Okay. Maureen?
Cormier.
That's
hi, I'm Maureen Cormier. I live in Los Osos, obviously. I have never been before the board, so I'm one of those people that you say, what are they thinking? Because I'm not just one of the truly committed. I come in and out of it, and I've been hearing some things that are really alarming to me. I'm a responsible citizen. I pay my taxes, I pay my bills, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I've already paid the $3,000 plus assessment that went down a couple of years ago. I want a sewer, but I want something that's state-of-the-art, that's going to work, that we can be proud of, that's going to function, that's going to be environmentally sound.
And right now we have our hopes tied up in the county, that the county is devising a really good plan for us. And I'm really kind of shocked that all of this prosecution is going down when we're getting so close to something working. I'm obviously not an engineer, and I am really amazed that so many of my neighbors have given hours and hours of their time to become so knowledgeable about all these very technical issues. It's something I never could have done, and I admire them for doing that. I'm here to tell you that I'm appealing to you and encouraging you to give the county a chance. They are working hard, and they're going to come up with something. They're going to come up with a really good plan. They're doing the rough screening. They're going to do the fine screening. I don't understand why all this prosecution and threatening letters are going down. The 218 letter came across as very threatening to me and to many other people. And I ask you, each single one of you, if you lived in Los Osos and had a home there and received that letter, I mean, think about it. How would you read that? If the 218 election comes down to people making decisions out of fear, there's going to be a lot of repercussions for that. I really appeal to you for all the knowledge that people have here to start working together. We have a lot of brain power here. We have a lot of manpower here. Why don't we put that together and create a solution instead of just hammering at each other? It amazes me. Like I said, I haven't stayed tuned to this at all. I have a lot of other important things going on in my life. And when I come back, things seem to get worse instead of better. So I guess I'm really asking for cooperation on all levels. You know, people put down their arms and try to work on a solution.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker is Keith Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. First question is it possible for the board to pull authority from the executive officer regarding CAOs or any actions that are being taken? And I want to first address the first notice of violation letter that was sent out, and there was a paragraph in there saying that several parties feel that this process is going too slow. I made a public record requesting to identify who those parties were, and they were not able to identify them. They were just phone calls or whatever. No substantiation of a paragraph stating that. If you don't have anything to back it up, you shouldn't state it. The process here, from the time that the recall occurred, ACL, CDO, now CEOs, wherein is it that this board is supposed to be working with the Los Osos CSD? They wanted a project. They just wanted it out of town, but it was subverted. And nothing but negative from this board and the staff's actions against Los Osos and the CSD to prevent them from building a sewer and forcing them to go to the county, all of these things, and starting a project before was just abhorrent by the old board to do what they did. But there's nothing that has been shown in the history of all of this that this board or staff has been cooperative for Los Osos other than trying to prosecute them and force them into a sewer, which we all want. But $200-$300 a month is hard for people to swallow. Also, you guys have crossed this road before in 2004 of enforcement actions and discussing that. And one of the things, all the things that were discussed is that you didn't have the staff to facilitate it, plus the amount of time that it would take to be able to prosecute each CDO or CAO. It was just going to be time-consuming, and was it productive? So I would suggest you go back to, I think it was July something, 2004. And where's the equity in all of this? I've only lived in Los Osos 6 years, and why am I going to be burdened with this? You say it's 30 years that this has gone on. Well, I've only been there 6 years, and I voted yes on the assessment for a sewer project, not in the middle of town. And that's why I got involved, because I didn't feel that's where a sewer should go. But there's a lot of history in why that happened. I think Pandora Nash Carner wanted to build a park in the middle of town, put a sewer in the middle of it, and she'd be off the hook as a park commissioner because she's done nothing for Los Osos. And then you made the comment, Mr. Young, about the same people, 80% of the people that make comments are the same people. Well, these people represent each person, hundreds of people, just like a congressman represents thousands of people.
Okay, that's it. All right, public comment is closed.